Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see so many brothers and sisters here with their happy, smiling faces. And I noticed that y'all still have your fingers after the 4th of July. You're doing good. Did you guys not sit out on your porches and throw fireworks at the neighbor kids? Neither did I. I was just talking about that. Welcome to Park Place Christian Church. We're happy to have you here on this beautiful day to worship with us. Thank you for choosing Park Place. And let's worship Jesus Christ together during this time. As you know, my name is Brent Sumner because my wife makes me wear this name tag, so it's me. And we'd like to welcome each and every one of you to this service. In order to know who's here today, we'd like you to take a moment and to sign the attendance pad. And if you see a visitor, make sure to greet them and smile. Make them feel welcome. And if you've been sitting next to somebody for 20 years, greet them also and smile. Make them feel welcome. If you're joining us today online, we'd like you to enter a comment so we know that you're there. You can put down good morning, hi, the praying hands emoji. For those of you that can see me, put down the googly eye emoji. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Just let us know. Let us know. And if you have any questions or concerns or prayer requests, type that in. We have a crack staff that'll take care of that. I am not on that crack staff, so it will get done. We'll be just fine. We have a card for Sue Algram, and we want to let her know that her church family is thinking about her and lifting her up in prayer. So if you have not already signed it, please take a moment after the service and stop by the table in the narthex and write her a little message. She'd surely appreciate it. We are certainly privileged today, not only with Pastor Jerry, but we also have Mr. Robert Calhoun that's going to bring us some special music later on. So I'm not taking any of his time, so I'm hurrying along here. I want to remind everyone that we're having the 5th Sunday Fellowship immediately following the service, and that will be in the parlor. In your bulletin, you will find a list of the upcoming events and announcements, as well as the schedule of activities for our church family. Be sure to check those out, and if you can, get involved. Because I know next Saturday, me and my good friend Gene will be down there at that soup kitchen. And if Karen doesn't beat us to death, we'll be back on the next morning to help out with everything. Now, are there any other announcements? Let us prepare for worship.
Good morning, all. Your evangelism and membership committee has been very busy. If you've had a chance to look down in Fellowship Hall, you can see some of our efforts. We're progressing well on our indoor churchyard sale set for July 18th and 19th, but there is still time to bring donations for the sale. Bring your items to the Fellowship Hall or call me and we'll make arrangements to pick it up. All proceeds will go towards the LED sign. We would like to ask for volunteers to help with the sale on Friday evening and Saturday morning. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board that you can sign up to help. If you're not busy at any of those times, please consider signing up. There will be a pre-sale for church members on the 14th, 15th, and 16th at 5:30 if you are interested in getting in on some items early. We still have handout cards in the foyer to give to your neighbors, friends, and coworkers to help us advertise. Pass the word. We have a lot of stuff. Thank you.
call to worship. Please stand if you are able as we join in the call to worship. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart is glad in Him because we trust in Him. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Amen.
Our praise hymn is there within my heart a melody, number 550.
Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come today recognizing that you are the source of all joy and the giver of every good gift. Thank you for your presence in our lives and the promise you have made to us. Guide us to see the good in life and give us strength to overcome challenges as we seek to follow your way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're joining together in worship and celebration of God's love for us. And as a part of that, we're going to take some time now to lift up our voices to God in prayer. If you have a concern that you want to lift up or you have a joy that you want to celebrate, please raise your hand and the mic will come around to you.
This is Liz Kellogg, and I'm still asking for prayers for my sister Margie. She's in the hospital with pneumonia and a few other issues. Thank you.
Okay. This is David Schreiner, and Susie and Helen Steve would like to wish everybody a good morning and want to thank everybody for all the cards and prayers that they've received.
I forgot to mention, but if you're up front in the top five rows, you get candy today, so come on up.
Jackie Bowman, and I have a special prayer for a friend of mine who's a She's going to be starting her chemotherapy for her cancer Tuesday, so have special prayers for her.
This is Pam Moses, and I just want to remind everyone that we need to pray for Texas and the flooding, losing all those children, and trying to locate them as a concern for everyone.
This is Dave Schreiner again. Mary Lubin is requesting prayers for Larry as he continues to battle health issues again.
David Oakes, I'd like to ask for prayers for Abby Williamson Foster's family. She passed away from cancer. She was one of my daughter's best friends in high school, and she was only 42 years old. Owned a dance studio up in Kansas City, so she has two young children.
Hi, guys. This is Cindy Blevins, and I'm asking for prayers for my brother-in-law, Steve White. He lives in Wichita, and he needs our prayers.
This is Ollie Sumner. Our friend Willie Rosas needs our prayers. He's getting diagnosed tomorrow, so we'll find out what is going on.
Well, this is good. We have lots of prayer requests today, and God hears every single one of them. So I'm glad we're lifting our voices up to God. Let's bow our heads together and prepare for our prayer. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known among the nations what God has done. Sing to God. Sing praises to Him. Tell of His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Almighty God, as we worship You this morning, as we reflect on those words that were found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we realize that we really have a lot to be thankful for. We thank You, O God, that we all have food to eat and that we all have homes to live in. We thank You for our church family that loves us and that cares about us. O God, Your blessings are so wonderful that this morning we just want to stop and to say thank You. Oh God, the love You have given us is so wonderful. It makes our lives worth living. Lord God, Your love is also something that we can share with others who need You just like we need You. And so we ask You to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to others so that we can see and minister to the people around us who are struggling. We ask You to help us too to reach out with compassion to our church members who are facing times of trial. And we ask You to remind us to reach out to our members who are sick and who are struggling in any way. Today, O God, we have many requests. We continue to lift up Liz's sister Margie. We pray that Your healing hand will be upon her. We ask You to be with Willie Rose and with Steve White. We thank You, O God, that Helen Steve's doing better. We ask You to continue to have Your loving and healing hand upon her. And Lord, be with Jackie's friend who's having chemo this week. And be with all those who are being affected by the floods in Texas. Lord, we ask You to watch over Mary and Larry Lumen as he continues to have health issues. And Lord, we lift up the family of Abby Foster. We pray that You would give them comfort and peace as they grieve her loss. We ask You to remind them, O God, that even though she's not with them, that she is with You. Help them to find peace in that moment. We ask You, Lord, to forgive us for the times that we have not rejoiced in Your loving grace. We ask You to forgive us too for the times that we have not shared Your love with other people. Forgive us for that, O God, and then please teach us how to love all people that You have created. We ask You too, O God, to put Your hand on the leaders of this nation and of every nation in this world. We ask You to help them to lead with compassion. And please, O God, convict their hearts of the reality that all people matter, because all people were created in Your divine image. We pray, O God, that You'll help us to feel Your wonderful presence as we now pray together the prayer that You taught Your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture reading, Psalms chapter 33, 1 through 9. I am a King James Version type guy, so I'll read it off the screen so it'll be right. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteousness. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. But the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea in jars and puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world reverence Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Hear this word for the people of God.
Thanks. In 1983, Lee Greenwood was sitting in a motel room after about 6 months of touring, and he was quite a patriotic man, and he had lost his dad to World War II and many of his friends to the Vietnam War. And he was thinking, I need a song that gives back, that talks about God and my faith and talks about how patriotic we all should be. And this is a song that he wrote. Tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Well, I thank my God above to be living here today, because their flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless you, USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Kansas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time to stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Thank you for sharing that, Robert. That was very good. I kind of forgot about Lee Greenwood. It's been a little while. I also appreciate you substituting Texas, putting Kansas in where the word Texas usually fits. That suited us well, so thank you. Well, I had an idea this week for the sermons I'm going to preach during the summer, and I'm going to see if I can get you to help me with it. And what I thought we would do is what I thought I would like to do is preach from a different psalm every Sunday. Now, that sounds good, but the tricky part is your part in this. I want to preach about psalms that you know and that you especially like. So all throughout the summer, I would appreciate it if you would tell me what your favorite psalms are. It'll help as bad as my memory is. It'll probably be easier if you email them to me or give me some way that I don't forget them quickly. But anyway, we're going to play a game called What's Your Favorite Psalm this summer. You're going to give me your favorite psalm, and that counts for people at home, too. If you have a favorite psalm, if you'll write it down and send it to me, I'll be sure that we use it this summer. Well, today I wanted to start off with one of my very favorite psalms, which is Psalm 33. And we just heard the first 9 verses read. Kind of tricky when you're looking at King James, but trying to read it in NIV, but you did great with that, too. You know, a big part of why Psalm 33 is important to me personally is because it reminds me of the human need and also of my need to be happy. If you think about it, life is not always happy, is it? The longer we live, the more we realize how true that statement is. You know, life isn't always easy for us. It isn't always pleasant. Sometimes things happen that stress us out. Sometimes things happen that make us sad, that take away our happiness. You know, health issues, we never know when we're going to get that unexpected diagnosis, either ourselves or somebody that we love. We have to deal with the loss of people that we love that either move away or pass away or no longer with us. We're always dealing with life changes. It seems like the longer we live, the more things change. You know, even sometimes in our families, people that we love, people that we trust, we run into conflicts. Disagreements. Sometimes we see family members separate themselves from people, from the rest of the family. But you know, Psalm 33 for me is very important because it reminds me that God wants me to be happy, not to be sad, not to be worn out, but to be happy. Now that means that God knows me. It means that God cares about me. It means that God wants me to be happy, to feel good about my life. You know, as Christians, if you think about it, we have a lot of very good reasons to be happy. You know, we learn in the scriptures that we were created in God's image. And that in and of itself is a wonderful thing. We also remember that we have been given the gift of grace by God. You know, even though none of us are perfect, even though we all come up short sometimes of what God, I think, would really like us to be, God doesn't give up on us. God continues to love us. God continues to reach out to us. And as a part of that, God has sent the Spirit into our world. And the Spirit of God is very, very active in our lives. The Spirit listens when we pray. The Spirit sees the struggles and the challenges that we face in life. And the Spirit is the part of God that speaks to us, that encourages us, that lifts us up, that keeps us going. You know, an important part of being happy in God is realizing that God's plans are solid and that they last forever. You know, even before the world was created, God was working on creation. And that means not only God was working on creating the earth and creating the universe, but God was also already planning to create you and me. You know, think about what that means. Long before anything else even existed, you were in God's heart and you were on God's mind. You know, an essential key to not losing sight of happiness is remembering these amazing things. Remembering, you're not letting yourself forget, that God loves you. And that's why, like I said, I like Psalm 33, because it reminds me of that love. Whether I'm having a good day or whether I'm having a rough day, I still know when I read those words that God loves me and that God is with me. And that means that there's never a moment in life when we do not have hope, because there is never a moment in life when God goes away or when God gives up on us. Well, you know, in Psalm 33, one of the things that I like is that it provides tools, ways that we can celebrate God's presence. And one of the greatest tools that it provides is the joy of music. Singing to God, singing about God, letting the hymns and the songs that we sing on Sunday morning remind us of God's presence and remind us of God's love. I mean, think about that for a minute. Think about those hymns and then think about your own life. What are the things that God has done for you? You know, I'm guessing that if we went around the room, we won't say, but if we did, I'm guessing every person in this room can remember times when God has touched your life. Times when God was present with you, when you really needed some help, you needed some comfort, you needed some reassurance. And music, for me, and I think for many people, is a powerful way to remember that and also to celebrate God's love. You know, part of why I say that and part of why I believe that is because music, I believe anyway, comes from the heart. You know, if we come to church on Sunday morning and we just kind of mumble and bumble and stumble through the songs that we sing, we're missing out. When we sing about that, when we sing the words, when we take them into our heart, when we think about what they mean, we think about the people who wrote them, we have an opportunity to be reminded that God is right there with us, that God never, ever fails us. You know, songs that we sing should always, like I said, be felt in our souls. You know, the hymns, the praise songs, everything that we sing are good songs because they remind us of God's presence in our lives. You know, all inspiring Christian songs, old songs and new songs, were written as an expression of praise. I don't know about you, but I can tell the difference when I see a song that was written because somebody's just wanting to sell a song and make some money, and when somebody is writing a song that was written from their heart, when it's very personal to them and it really means something to them. You know, I think about some of the older hymns that we sing, and I find some pretty good examples of that. For example, the hymn, "It Is Well in My Soul," that was written by a man named Horatio Spafford, clear back in the 1870s. Now, Horatio was a wealthy man. He was an attorney in the Chicago area. He was a realtor and very, very successful in that business. So he had lots and lots to be glad for, to be thankful for. And I would imagine there was a time when he assumed that all of his financial gifts were coming directly from God. But then a little thing happened in 1871 called the Chicago Fire. And it wasn't a little thing. Much of the city was destroyed. And all of the properties that he was making money on were destroyed with it. All the wealth he had, all the luxury, all the peace that he had was gone. But Horatio did not give up. He rebuilt his business. He worked hard for the next couple of years and worked to try to rebuild. Now, after those 2 years, though, he and his family were completely exhausted. So he said to his wife, he said, you know, let's take a trip to Europe. You and the girls, they had four girls. He said, you and the girls get on the ship and go on over, and then I'll come and join you as quick as I finished up my business. But unfortunately, things did not go very well for his family. The ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean was rammed by another ship, and it sunk in just a matter of minutes. His wife survived, but all four of his daughters were drowned. Now, you can imagine what that man had been through, what Horatio had been through. Dealing with all of the financial struggles with a fire, and then the loss of all four of his kids. But, you know, he received a note from his wife saying, I'm in London, I'm okay, but what do I do? And he got an inspiration. He felt God was talking to him, even though he was in terrible pain as he dealt with the loss of his daughters. And so he sat down and wrote a poem that eventually became the hymn, It Is Well in My Soul. You know, when we sing that song, we'll have to pick that one of these Sundays so we can kind of refresh our memory, because it's a beautiful hymn. It reminds us of his pain and also of the fact that God got him through his pain. You know, I think of another classic song that I know we all know, and that's Amazing Grace. That song's been around for a very, very long time. That was written by a man named John Newton. Now, John Newton made a lot of changes in his life. You know, he grew up in the 1800s. As I said, the song was written, I think, around 1700s. But anyway, John Newton had a lot to deal with because he was the captain of a slave ship. Now, I think deep down in his heart, he realized that slavery was wrong, that it was a sin, that he should not be a part of it. But the money was good, and so he chose money over people. But eventually, God touched his heart to the point where he realized that he could not continue to be engaged in the slave trade. He had to abandon his career as a captain of a slave ship. But the song Amazing Grace came out of that experience. You know, he knew very well that what he did was wrong. It was sinful. It was against the will of God. But he also knew that when he turned away from the things he was doing wrong and turned to God, that God blessed him, that God forgave him, and that God gave him a completely new life. You know, those old traditional hymns are powerful because, as I said, they were not just written just to sell a song. They were written to tell a story. And the stories were very, very serious, and they really mattered. You know, I think of some of the newer songs today, and one that comes to my mind is I can only imagine. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. I'd offer to sing it for you, but you'd think it was a pretty awful song if I did that. So we'll skip that. But that was written by a man named Bart Millard, and he wrote it as he was grieving the death of his father. Now, Bart had a very difficult childhood. His father was very, very abusive emotionally and also physically. Well, his mother didn't know what to do, so when he was, I think, like 8 or 9 years old, she abandoned him, left him with his abusive father. But over the course of time, Bart found peace. He found healing from those horrible childhood experiences. And he found them through God. He found them through faith in Christ. So the song, I Can Only Imagine, was a reflection of how he felt. In fact, that song in particular was written as he was grieving his father's death. Now, what had happened to Bart, even though his mother abandoned him, even though his father was abusive, as an adult, his mother came back to him and apologized. And he forgave her, and they re-entered into a relationship. And then his dad actually became a Christian, and he also asked Bart to forgive him for the things he had done to him as a child. So when he wrote that song, it was after his father died. And he was making peace with the challenges, the struggles in his father's life, while still loving his father enough to want him to be in God's care. So as I said, those songs are not just tunes that were written to amuse people. They are stories that came from people's hearts. They matter to them, and they can matter to us if we allow them to do that. You know, music, if you think about it, renews us again and again and again, because it reminds us of the good things God has done for others, the people who wrote the songs. And it also reminds us of the good things that God does for us. Proclaiming God's goodness and God's love and God's mercy is not only a way of loving yourself, but it's also a way of loving other people. Because everybody needs to be reminded of God's love. That's why worship is important. That's why on Sunday morning we get out of bed and we get cleaned up and we put our tie on and whatever else we wear and we come to church. Because this is a place to remember that God loves us. Not only a place for you to remember that wonderful truth, but also a place where you can share that wonderful truth with your brothers and sisters in Christ. But if worship is going to be that, if it's not going to be just something we do just because we've always done it, if it's going to be something that reminds us of God's presence, reminds us of God's love, then it has to have some characteristics. Now, first and foremost, worship has to be God-centered. Worship has to revolve around God. Now, sometimes that's a challenge for us, isn't it? Because we like worship to go a certain way. We like certain songs. We don't like certain other songs, etc., etc. But the point is, worship has to be focused on God. First and foremost, if we're not focusing on God, then what are we really doing? It'd be better just to go ahead and stay in bed on Sunday morning. Worship, to be effective, has to be excellent. Now, when I say excellent, I mean that we can't let anything get in the way of coming to worship God. You know, if our worship is not God-centered and Christ-centered, then it's not going to be excellent. It's not going to be meaningful. Now, excellence doesn't mean everything has to be professionally done. It doesn't mean everything has to be absolutely perfect. But it does mean that it should be excellent in the sense that we feel God's presence and that we join together as brothers and sisters in Christ. A part of that excellence and that God-centered focus is worship needing to be passionate. Again, not just something we do just because we've always done it. You know, getting up on Sunday morning just because that's what, you know, mother did and that's what grandmother did. But getting up to worship God because we love God. Because we feel God's presence. Because we want to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we feel joy. We feel passion. Or I hope we do when we come to church. And related to that, worship must leave us with a sense of celebration. You know, whether you worship in a traditional style, whether you worship in a more contemporary style, you should leave feeling good, feeling that God is with you, feeling that God has touched you on this day. And at the same time, while you're enjoying things, while there's the passion, while there's the excellence, we also need to be reverent. You know, again, to not lose sight of who we love, of who loves us, and of who we are worshiping. And finally, worship needs to be diverse. You know, worship can't be limited to only people who look like me, whose skin is like mine. It can't be limited to only people who are the same age that I am or from the same background that I am. If worship is really going to reflect God's presence and God's love, then it has to be open to all people. That's easy to say. It's not always quite so easy to do, but it's critically, critically important. Because God doesn't look at people and say, okay, this person's in category A, this person's in category B, that one's in category C. God looks at all of us with love. And if we're going to effectively worship God, then we need to learn to love all people, not some, but all people. You know, those principles for worship are great. But then think what your life would be like if you applied those to your life, to your daily living. What, for example, if every single day you made a point of making sure that your life, your heart, your attitude was God-centered? What if you began every morning talking to God? What if you spent every afternoon talking to God? What if you talk to God before you go to sleep at night? Think how much happier your life would be, and especially if you're facing challenges in life. If your life was excellent, if your life was passionate, if you celebrated God's presence, if you were reverent and honored God, and if you opened your heart and your mind to all people, think how much more happy and fulfilled you would be. Instead of feeling losses, instead of feeling limitations, instead of looking at people and thinking, you know, why is this person here? We could celebrate. We would feel good in worship and we would feel good in life if we approach life every day in that same manner. Well, you know, and this passage in Psalm 33, verse 4 tells us that God's word is right and true. What that means is that God is our model for faithfulness. The scriptures guide us and inform us of how to live and how to be the people that God wants us to be. Well, then the next verse, verse 5, says that God loves righteousness and justice. And what that means is that God loves people who are fair. God loves people who treat others with fairness as well. People who are true to God in their worship, not only in worship, but also in their lives and in their actions. People who are consistent, who defend others, and who behave like brothers and sisters in Christ, instead of people who treat each other like they're foreign and like they're enemies in some capacity. Well, then in verses 8 and 9, we see the call to respect the Lord for the wonders of creation, for all that God has created. In other words, you know, God created everything and everybody. Now, we are privileged because God has given us a certain authority over the earth. But with that authority comes responsibility. You know, God has given us a beautiful world, and God expects us to take care of that beautiful world. God has placed people in our lives that sometimes are lovable and sometimes not quite so lovable. But God wants us to share God's love with them regardless. Not always easy, as I said, but it's important. It's a critical part of being happy, of feeling fulfillment in God's presence. You know, how different would life be if we applied the words of Psalm 33? What if we honored everything and everybody that God has created? Not just occasionally, not just once, but every single day. What if we respected other people the way that the psalmist calls us to do in Psalm 33? How would your life change if your primary ambition was to praise God, was to feel close to God, was to honor God with everything you do and everything you say? Don't you think your attitude would be a lot different? Don't you think that your treatment of others, your feelings about other people would change and would improve? You know, if we're living for God, if we're being God-centered, then we're going to see people in a whole new light. Again, whether they look like us, whether they speak the same language we speak, whether they're the same age as us or whatever. If our lives are God-centered, then we are going to see people through God's eyes. And those eyes are eyes of compassion and love. You know, you are loved by God. Every person in this room is loved by God. So you have plenty of reason to sing for joy to the Lord. So I encourage you to rejoice. I encourage you to rejoice this morning, to feel God's presence and to feel good about that presence. I encourage you to rejoice later on in the day as you go to the grocery store and you run into grumpy people or whoever you run into. I encourage you to never stop rejoicing. Because God's love never stops. And because of that, you and I always have a reason for hope. You and I always have a purpose in our lives. You and I always have something to look forward to. Because we will always have the love of God. Okay, let's pray together. God, we do thank you that your love never, ever ends. We thank you, God, that whether we're having good times in life or whether we're struggling in life, whether we're healthy or whether we're sick, whether we have all of our loved ones around us, whether we have lost those loved ones to death, no matter what, God, we know that you are here. So help us to focus on you. Help us to center our lives around you so that we can experience your joy and so that we can share that joy and that love with all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's love, as we've said, is amazing. It's something that carries us through life. It's something that keeps us from losing and from giving up. And one of the places that we remember that love and that we celebrate that love is at the communion table. You know, as we've said before, communion is not just some ritual or some act that we do just because we do it. We celebrate communion every Sunday because that's our way to celebrate God's love. So let's prepare our hearts now by singing our communion hymn, Seed Scattered and Sown, and number 395. I invite you now to join me at our Lord's table, the table where we receive, as the song said, living bread. In other words, the table where we are reminded of God's incredible love. No matter what our day has been like, no matter what our lives, what we're going through in our lives, God's love is still there. And this table is our reminder of that love, that it never changes, that we never have a time when we are without hope. So I invite you to join me at God's table of love. Would you pray for us?
Let us pray. Every time we take communion, Lord, I want us to recommit our lives, our hearts, our thoughts, our everything to you. Fill us with your powerful spirit and help us to share your message. Amen.
Well, as we gather now at our Lord's table, we remember. We recall it on the night that Christ was betrayed, that he took bread, and that after he had given thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us now celebrate our Lord's Supper.
God our Father has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, and in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has blessed us abundantly. Now God calls on us to be the community that blesses others. Today, through the sharing of our love, our talents, and our material possessions, let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give through our tithes and offering. Let us now receive our morning offering.
Well, God's love is real and God's love is powerful. God's love gives us purpose and meaning and hope. But if you're here today and you've not already experienced that love, then I invite you to come forward this morning to accept Christ as your Savior. I'm also, if you're worshiping with us and you're a guest with us and you're looking for a church home, I'd invite you to come forward so that we can officially make you a part of this Christian family. And then finally, if you have a concern today, you want to recommit yourself to Christ, or there's other issues going on in your life that you want your church family to pray for, if you come forward, we'll all pray for you now. Let's sing our invitation, which is, I Need Thee Every Hour. Well, as we prepare to conclude our service, I want to remind you of the fellowship opportunity that's going to be in the parlor right after church is over. After fellowship is over, if you have prayer concerns, I'm going to be in the chapel. We'll have our care, share, and prayer time if you'd like. I also want to let you know good news. Next week, Marilyn Graham is going to be preaching for us. Mary and I are going to be at the regional assembly, so we'd appreciate, or the general assembly, excuse me, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that. I always give Lou a hard time, but I'm debating whether I should try to give Marilyn a hard time or not, because I know she used to be a school principal, and I don't want to get into a lot of trouble. So I'll be nice, at least for right now. All right. Well, God does love us. We need God every single hour. And the good news is God is here for us every single hour. Our role is just simply to accept that love, to embrace that love, and then to share that love with every person that we meet, and even every person that we don't meet. All people throughout this world need to know that God loves them. May God bless you and keep you now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.